I want to take the theme tonight of sowing and reaping. You'll find the text here that I want to draw your attention to in Galatians chapter 6, the verses we've just read. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Harvest time is a very special time. The golden grain, the fields ready for the harvest. And of course the harvest again, another season has been gathered in. And this time of the year, as the harvest is gathered in, provision is laid in store for the winter months ahead. And how thankful we are tonight again for the faithfulness of God. And we can say with the hymn writer, great is thy faithfulness. And we are amazed year by year at the wonderful provision that God gives to us in the temporal sphere of life. We call to mind the words of Scripture in the book of Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And as we examine the Scripture, we discover that the harvest theme is brought before us again and again. For example, Psalm 126, where we have mentioned the sowing and reaping. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And again in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, by way of parables, the Lord Jesus Christ used the harvest theme. For example, there in Matthew chapter 13. And so the Bible is replete with references to the harvest, right to the end of Scripture. In the book of Revelation there, the last book of our Bibles, we have references there to the harvest. For example, chapter 14 of Revelation, verse 15. Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And see again the words that we want to focus upon in the closing moments of this meeting. That of sowing and reaping. The words of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. It is our prayer that in the closing part of our service tonight, these words of Holy Scripture will be written upon your heart. Sowing and reaping. There are a number of things in these verses that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, we notice here in verse 7, the exhortation. Be not deceived. And what a solemn exhortation this is. We live in a world tonight that is filled with deception. People everywhere, young and middle-aged and old, are being deceived. And the arch-deceiver himself is at large in this world. The prince of the power of the air. The devil himself. And those employed by him are engaged in the work of deception. You see, from the beginning of time, dear friends, right to now and going on into the future, the serpent, Satan, is doing his evil work. As he slithered there into the lives of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, with all of his guile and subtlety and craftiness, and caused them to be deceived, and they fell. And they sinned against God. And the fall of man took place. And ever since, in this world, we have the evidence of deception. In the lives of people, no matter what their background may be, Oh, the deception of Satan and sin. Maybe you're here tonight listening to this service, and the devil has deceived you in your life. Through the course of the years, you've been deceived by Satan and sin. The attractions of the world, the allurements that Satan has brought before you, the temptations that he brings before you to turn you aside in the pathway of sin and rebellion against God. The Bible speaks of the deception of the world and the flesh and the devil. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, we read the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And these things, men and women and young people, are constantly before us as we go through this world. The devil's enticements. He's out to deceive. And multitudes are being deceived tonight. And that deception of Satan is in the very heart of man. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And this deceit and this wickedness comes from the heart of man. In Mark 7:22, the Bible teaches us, from within, out of man, proceed all of these sins that are mentioned there in verses that follow. Satan has so deceived mankind that they think all of these pleasures will bring to them satisfaction and peace, will fill the void and the vacuum that's in their hearts and lives. Whereas the Word of God teaches us tonight that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. These things, my friends, are fleeting. They are fading. They are frail things. They only end up in sorrow and pain and death. They bring distress and disappointment and disillusion. One day as I sat having a coffee in the center of Belfast, a young man came across to my table. I was looking at my phone, I suppose, or reading a newspaper. I just can't remember exactly what I was doing, but I was doing something, sitting there, having a coffee. He said to me, "Do you know me?" And it took me a while to recognize him, and he named me by my first name. And he said, "Alan, do you know me?" I said, "What's your name?" And when he gave his name, I recollected that we went to school together. I said, "Sit down." And we talked. He talked about his life, the disappointments and the distresses and all of the things. And etched on his very face were the marks of sin and the life that he'd lived without God, a pathway of disobedience, deception. It was so sad. It caused a tear to come to my eye. But then he told me how he got saved and the wonderful grace of God in his life. And transformed by that grace, the smile came to his face and to mine too. Don't be deceived by the devil. Don't let the devil pull the wool over your eyes. And that's the sense here that the Apostle Paul is bringing to us. The devil is seeking to ensnare you. It's a web of deceit from start to finish. But flee from it tonight. Flee to Christ as that young man did. The only one that can save you from sin is the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Be not deceived. the exhortation. But the second thing is here, the exclamation, God is not mocked. You see, God does not permit anyone to make light of his gospel or of the exhortations that are implied within that gospel. In fact, the sense is here to turn up the nose at God. And there are many in society and across this world tonight who turn up their nose at God and his gospel. There are many in society today who say that God is dead. But those who say God is dead will not go unnoticed. He will not permit it to be unpunished. And mocking God is so prevalent in society, and it always has been, my friend. They mock God by saying there is no God. The Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, and Psalm 53, verse 1, repeated twice, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we live in a society today where atheism is to the fore. It's promoted on every side. They mock God in the seats of learning across this world. In every level of the education sector, they seek to bombard children and young people with their mocking of God and by saying that God does not exist. The world's media have this agenda too of engaging and mocking God, and they do it continually. The mockers of God are everywhere, dear friends. They despise his name. They dishonor his person. They trail his name in the mire. They utter their blasphemies against the Lord. They take his name in vain. They break the third commandment, which says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. In fact, they mock God by breaking all of his commandments. All of them. The Bible tells us of those who planted a crown of thorns and put it on the Savior's head and a reed in his right hand and bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Matthew 27, 29. The mocking crowd at the judgment seat where Christ was scourged. The mocking crowd at the cross. This included those who passed by the cross where Jesus was crucified. It included also the chief priests and the scribes. The religious leaders of the day, they mock Christ. And the religious leaders of our day still mock Christ. They still despise Christ. Further, the thieves who were crucified with the Lord Jesus, who later one of them repented and turned to the Lord, they mocked Christ, they railed and reviled Christ. The Bible tells us too that Herod mocked Jesus. Luke 23:11, Herod and his men of war set Jesus at naught and mocked him. And so right across the board, in the day when our Lord Jesus Christ was upon the scene of time, in the secular and religious world of his day, Jesus was mocked. It's no different today, dear friends. It's no different today. In Jude 17, 18, it says, But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told us there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And the evidence of these words is before us day and daily. The Savior is mocked. Not only was the Savior mocked, but the servants of God were mocked. You remember Paul preaching at Mars Hill in Acts 17:32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. The preaching of God's servant was mocked. As he preached Christ, he was mocked. So it was with the other apostles, and so it has been down through the centuries of time to this very present time in which we live. Those who dare to open their mouths and preach Christ will be opposed. will be mocked. The preaching of the great stalwarts of the faith has been mocked right to this present day. And so it will continue. But the Bible says God is not mocked. The Bible says God is not mocked. There's a day of reckoning coming. Whether they be kings or presidents or queens or prime ministers, whether they be popes or prelates or parsons, whether they be educated or uneducated, whatever their station or standing may be in this world, none will escape the eye of the one with whom we have to do. Because God sees all things. And God will call all men and women to account and will call you to account tonight if you are a mocker of God. If you're a despiser of his name, a despiser of his gospel, a rejecter of his person. None shall escape the notice or the judgment of the God of heaven. God is not mocked. And so there's here the exhortation, and there's here the exclamation, but there's here finally the explanation. Because we see that in the words here, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Those who live carnal, sensual lives, instead of employing themselves to the honor of God and the good of others, and spend all of their time and care about the flesh, must expect no fruit other than corruption. What does it mean? It means a mean, short-lived satisfaction at present. It means ruin and misery at the end of it. The hymn writer put it in those words we often sing in our hymn book, after the sowing of sin is all done, after the glory of earth has been won, after the sands of thy life have all run, oh, what shall thy reaping be? Sowing in Satan's might. Reaping eternal night. What will your reaping be, my friend, tonight? Sowing to the flesh means that the old nature has its way. We know from Scripture that the inclination of the heart of man and the bias of his will is towards sin. We're sinners by nature and by practice. The psalmist said there in Psalm 51 and 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. The Bible again says in Psalm 58 and verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. How often do parents and grandparents make the observation about the little one that's born into the family? He or she has a temper, has a will of their own, etc., etc., indicating the old sinful nature is right there from the early days and months of the child's life. They will display jealousy. They will lie. Some will even steal. Right from the earliest formative years of life. You see, man by nature walks the way of the flesh. He manifests the will of the flesh. He fulfills the lusts of the flesh. And he or she has a carnal mind. And the Word of God teaches us tonight, according to Romans 8, verses 7 and 8, that the carnal mind is enmity against God, or is at variance with God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Bible speaks about the way of the flesh. And that's the way by nature that you're walking tonight, without Christ, in this meeting, hearing this preaching tonight. You're walking in the way of the flesh by nature, as a sinner without God, without hope, on the Christless pathway that you're traveling along tonight. The Bible speaks about the will of the flesh. The Bible speaks about walking after the flesh. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul put it like this. You walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, having their conversation. That word conversation means behavior. In the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The Bible tells us there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man, right down through the centuries, down through the decades, down through the years, down through the months, down through the weeks, down through the hours and minutes and moments of time, has been sowing the seeds of sin. And what a harvest you're going to reap, my friend, for your life of sin, if you don't turn from it. The life that you've lived, rejecting God, following the world, and its devices, and its wickedness, supping at the world's streams, partaking of the world's pleasure. What a harvest. Are you sowing your wild oats in the world tonight? There's a reaping. There's a harvest. Think of that rich man there in Luke chapter 12. He gathered the harvest in. The barns were bursting at the seams. He said, I'll pull down my barns and build greater. God was not in his thoughts, man. He was going to have a good time. He was going to eat and drink and be merry. And maybe you're thinking about the good time you're going to have this weekend or some other time, the party that you're going to, the plans that you have in this world. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required. Is God saying that to you tonight? It's a harvest you're going to reap because of your sin. The hymn we quoted earlier says, after the pleasures of sin are all past, after the wealth of the world is amassed, when the death angel you face at the last, what shall thy reaping be? Shall they reaping be? You know the term corruption that's used here. He that soweth to the flesh, verse 8, shall of the flesh reap corruption. The term corruption here used indicates everlasting destruction, indicates ruin. There's ruin before you tonight. Hell is before you tonight if you reject the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. You see, my Bible teaches me tonight that the end of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And those who have sown to the flesh will awaken to shame and everlasting contempt. The Bible tells us in Daniel 12 and 2, the worm will not die, neither will the fire be quenched. Their dwelling place, as one has put it, is outside the banquet hall. You remember those foolish virgins in Matthew 25. They were unprepared when the bridegroom came. The door was shut. They didn't go in to fellowship with the bridegroom.
My friend, what a tragedy it would be for you tonight. The door were to be shut. You're to be separated from God in a Christless hell forever. The great contrast between sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit is brought before us here. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And those that have sown to the Spirit will shine, as the Bible teaches us in Daniel 12 and 2 again, will shine as the brightness of the firmament, as the stars forever and ever. They will bear the image of the heavenly, as the Bible teaches us. They will physically be conformed to the body of Christ. Philippians 3 and 2 or 21 says, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." Those who sow to the Spirit, those who take Christ, those who embrace his salvation will be like Christ. They will see him as he is. What a day that will be. What a wonderful harvest that will be. Everlasting life. What a glorious prospect for the child of God. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. I remember on one occasion sitting at our Easter convention and the phone in the pocket, and I knew this man was dying, and I had said to his wife, "Look, please let me know." I could feel that phone vibrating in my pocket. I looked at it. I knew immediately, and I made my way to the bedside of that man. And just as I got there, he just had passed into God's eternity. But you know, the countenance of that man, something I'll never forget, the peace that was upon his face, because he knew the Lord. He went home to be with Christ. Oh, there were tears from his wife and all the family that had gathered there. But you know, we knew that his portion was everlasting life. Whether it will be everlasting death or everlasting life depends upon what you do now in this life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you accept him, what will you do with Christ tonight? As you sit in this meeting, what will you do with Christ tonight? Again, the words of that same hymn have been so etched upon my mind. Come to the Saviour of sinners. Come home. Why will you longer so aimlessly roam? While he is pleading, O wanderer, come. The Master is waiting for thee. Cease from thy waywardness, Jesus invites. List to the bride who with pleading unites. While the blessed Spirit in prayer now incites, the Master is waiting for thee. Come home. Come home like as a weary dove. Come home. Come home to thy Father's love. Will you come home tonight? I remember the night I was saved, and often I pass by the house on the Ravenhill Road where I was saved, up in the upstairs bedroom, 11 years of age, over 50 years ago, I came to Christ. And you know, I've never regretted it for a single moment. Many of the guys that I was in school with ended up in prison in the midst of the troubles, got involved in the troubles of this country. The Lord preserved me. The Lord saved me. I thank God for that. Grace of God is a wonderful thing. The Lord has preserved me for over 40 years in the ministry. 42 years, 43 years coming. The ministry of the gospel. I thank God for his grace. Wonderful prospect that awaits the child of God. What will your reaping be, friend? Oh, make sure that tonight, before you leave this place, before you close your eyes and sleep tonight, Would you close with Christ? As he's offered to you in the gospel. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. May God write his word upon our hearts tonight. Amen.